You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
Last week, the High Court overturned a summons by the Waitangi Tribunal to Minister for Children Karen Chua regarding the government's plans to repeal Section 7AA of the Ōranga Tamariki Act. Section 8A requires Ōranga Tamariki by law to improve outcomes for Tamariki Māori in state care and adhere to the principles of Te Tiriti. For our weekly interview, I asked ACT MP Simon Court about why Chua has refused to present evidence to the tribunal before the bill is introduced to Parliament. We also discussed comments made in ACT's recent newsletter, which claimed Prime Minister Christopher Luxon has styled himself as an elite, advertising his credentials as a former corporate CEO, and described Winston Peters, New Zealand First leader and Deputy Prime Minister, as having more time at the centre of government than any other politician, and that he becomes much more erudite once elected. Here is that interview. I first wanted to speak to you about fellow ACT MP, Children's Minister Karen Chua, who has been summoned to the Waitangi Tribunal to give evidence regarding the government's plans to repeal Section 7AA of the Ōranga Tamariki Act. The High Court did recently overturn the summons, but can you explain to our listeners why ACT is opposed to giving evidence at the tribunal?
Well, I must begin by saying it's not appropriate that I talk about the legal proceedings specifically, but I'm quite happy to talk about why Minister Karen Chua has proposed a repeal of Section 7AA. And the reason I need to be careful is because there are still legal proceedings going on. I understand that there is an appeal, which is likely to be heard this week. But I'm happy for BFM listeners just to set out what it is that Minister Chua is seeking to do by repealing 7AA. So Karen Chua was elected in 2020 as an ACT MP into opposition, as I was. And I had the opportunity to spend quite a long time on the campaign bus and then sitting with Karen in the House, hearing her story and listening to her as she worked through some of the solutions to make lives better for particularly Māori children who are caught up in state care because of the failings of their families. And one of the things she's identified is that Section 7AA, which requires that firstly the child's whakapapa or status as a member of a group, Māori, is looked at first. She pointed out that that's well-intentioned, but can drive circumstances and outcomes which are actually at odds with a child's best interest. And she cited one example, but there are many, including that of a child named Mary, who was placed with a permanent, loving, forever family, which happened to be Pākehā, not Māori. And Mary, who did have Māori whakapapa, was then identified by Ōranga Tamariki staff as being in a place that was not suitable for her cultural well-being, and so they picked her up and they found another family for her, for which she had no relationship whatsoever. And then those staff, when challenged by her family, her foster family, were not able to explain why they'd done this, except to cite 7AA. So I think looking at children's welfare, no matter what their whakapapa or genealogy is, doing what's right for the kid is Karen's ultimate objective. So that if a child is placed with a family, no matter what their cultural backgrounds, no matter what their heritage, that they're in a safe and loving place. And that's Karen's objective by seeking to repeal Section 7AA.
So we have that case that you mentioned. What evidence do you have that suggests reverse uplifting based on cultural background is happening on a regular basis?
Look, that's not my portfolio, so I'm only aware of the cases that have been publicised. But in that case, Ōranga Tamariki staff were found by the judge, because the foster family appealed. They were horrified. They'd been told that Mary was with them in a permanent placement. Mary had been told that this is your mum and dad. You're not going to be taken from another home, taken from this family. And in court, the Oranga Tamariki staff perjured themselves in the evidence they gave the judge. It's one of the most shocking cases of the state failing children. And the reason that they were able to get away with it is because Section AA gave Oranga Tamariki a credible defence for the actions that their staff had taken. So that's why I understand that that case in particular, and I would assume there's others because the minister has said there is the main reason for wanting to remove Section 7AA from the Oranga Tamariki.
Well, that's where the Waitangi Tribunal came in, right? So they want to see that evidence. So do you know if Karen Shaw has plans to share this evidence?
I'm not aware of what evidence has been shared. And as I said in my opening comments, I understand an appeal has been lodged and that appeal will be heard this week. So that's up to the courts to work out.
Section 7AA of the Oranga Tamariki Act also requires Oranga Tamariki to report on outcomes for Māori children in state care. Why do you want to remove these requirements?
So, Minister Chua is very clear that her objectives for Oranga Tamariki is to improve the outcomes of all children who end up in the care and protection of the state, and not just Māori children. But the fact is that the overwhelming majority of children who end up in the situation are from Māori families and whakapapa Māori. So, you know, I would assume that if Karen Chua, as Minister for Children, is doing her job, that all children in state care will benefit from the changes that she's making through the policy decisions that she's working.
The discussion of inequities for Māori tamariki and whānau compared to non-Māori by Oranga Tamariki has been a big ongoing issue. And in 2019, we saw thousands of people protest these inequities. What does ACT perceive as the disparities that are between Māori and non-Māori children in state care?
Well, the clear disparity is that so many children from Māori backgrounds end up in state care. So that while this is not my specialty area, I'm a civil engineer, and you know, I've worked in the waste industry for 14 years. I'm looking at resource management reform and infrastructure funding and financing. What I am aware of is that far too many children from Māori backgrounds end up in state care, and Karen Shaw is adamant that she is going to improve outcomes for those children, and not just children from Māori backgrounds, because immutable characteristics such as who one's ancestors were are not the right lens to look at this through. There are some issues that are cross families, but that appear to be affecting Māori families and their children more. And I know that Karen is absolutely committed to improving outcomes for all children who end up in state care, and if at all possible, preventing them from ending up in that situation in the first place.
Does ACT intend to encourage the government to abolish the Waitangi Tribunal?
I'm not aware that any decisions have been taken along those lines. I know that there is some discussion about what is the role of the Waitangi Tribunal once full and final settlements with some iwi which have yet to settle have been completed. But that's not a policy decision that I'm involved with.
I also wanted to speak to you about ACT's recent Free Press newsletter. And your coalition partners got a bit of a grilling in it. So what has their reaction been to this?
Well, I haven't heard from our coalition partners, but I do read Free Press, and I would highly recommend that BFM listeners click on the act.org.nz website and sign up to receive it, where you'll hear it first. But look, who writes Free Press is still a mystery, but what we did read in Free Press is that New Zealanders are really, really concerned, based on the Ipsos survey, that we feel that this country is broken and in decline, that we have social division, and that economic management has been very poor. You know, the result of the tax borrow has been Labor government, a lack of delivery. I mean, I'm an Aucklander. You know, there is no light rail, despite the fact that it was promised in 2017 a station would be open. By the Prime Minister, incoming Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern, that we'd be riding it by 2021. We've seen the social division caused by the COVID mandates and the protests that followed, you know, having people mandated out of their jobs and having Aucklanders locked in for months and months at a time for, you know, what started as a single COVID case and ended up with the borders being open because there was no way that that was sustainable. It's no wonder that New Zealanders feel the country's broken and in decline. And just reflecting on free press, I mean, the writer pointed out quite rightly that New Zealanders may see Prime Minister Luxon as an elite, because as a member of an elite, because he has run a national airline, he's worked in business all around the world, he owned a number of homes, and you know, Labor was the party that tried to cut him down because of his elite status. So you know, we're not saying that's right. We're just saying that that is, that's what's been proposed by Labor and the Greens as well. And we look at Honourable Winston Peters. Well, he's simply the most experienced politician we have. But you know, as the Ipsos report points out, he may also be seen as one of those powerful and elite politicians because he's simply been there the longest and he's held a number of senior roles in government.
The newsletter called him more erudite once elected. Is this suggesting that Peters is putting it on for the cameras maybe during the election campaign, or are you just calling him old?
Well, certainly election campaigns bring out the best and the worst in people. It's often the only time the politicians feel that they're getting any attention at all, and so they try to maximise that. Election campaign behaviour is sometimes unhelpful, but you know, what I've also experienced, having worked with Winston Peters in government for the first time, is that he is a consummate professional. He takes his role very, very seriously. He loves New Zealand. But what I would also say, that ACT is playing a positive role here as well, alongside our coalition partners. We're here to enable people to control our own lives and to limit the influence of government on people's lives. The ACT Party firmly believes that smaller government means less scope for the powerful, whoever they might be, to intrude in people's lives. And when I look at that survey, 60% of New Zealanders either disagreed or strongly disagreed when asked whether government should increase taxes to pay for additional government spending, compared to just 21% who agreed or strongly agreed. And, you know, the ACT Party, which stands for the Association of Consumers and Taxpayers, we feel we are best placed in government to respect taxpayers' money and deliver better outcomes for all New Zealanders, including young New Zealanders who are studying or just starting out on their journey of work.
That was ACT MP Simon Court discussing the Waitangi Tribunal summons of Children's Minister Karen Shaw, the government's plans to repeal Section AA of the Oranga Tamariki Act, as well as ACT's recent newsletter where there were some comments made about their coalition partners.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.